Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Hitchcock. Welcome to Wealth Protector TV. This is our channel to get you incredible content that can help you from Barth Calderon, our law firm. We're an asset protection, estate planning, business planning law firm. Really excited to have one of our top attorneys here with us today, Hannah Yang. Hannah, welcome.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. And so, Hannah, you and I were talking offline. This is a very important topic. I want to jump into this. This is estate planning. And I know that, you know, you're tying it in a bit to your experience in the military, but what let's just get into it. What do we need to know here?
Yeah, I just wanted to share a couple of observations about estate planning that I gathered from my time in the military. And I think these are just really great takeaways that we can glean from our service members. So the first takeaway, I think, is that it's for everyone, right? I think there's a misconception out there that it's only for the rich or the old. But the attitude that we have in the military that it's for everyone and everyone needs to just get it done. So I think that's a huge takeaway.
Yeah, because that's a misnomer. A lot of people, when they hear the phrase estate planning, they think, oh, it's got to be for Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, these billionaires. But it's not true. Like you said, all of us, you know, couples, you know, single people need to have it because it seems like it's your document that controls your life.
Exactly. And, so another great takeaway in the military is that, you know, you just tackle it, right? You don't put it off because you just don't know when that time will come. And you don't have to be, like you said, Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or Elon Musk. That time will come. And sometimes for many people, it will come sooner than when you need it. And so, when you're in the military, you know that deployment is a pretty much a guarantee. It's not a matter of if you'll deploy, it's a matter of when. But that same principle applies to all of us, right? We don't want to think about death or incapacity, but it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. So I think it's just I don't know. It's nice to just kind of get it out there and deal
be
with
prepared.
It.
Be prepared.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because life is never static, as we all learn. And life happens and your estate planning needs to be there. Yeah, great point.
Absolutely. Another wonderful thing about the military is that it's estate planning is because it's so accessible. There's this attitude that, you know, you just have to get started and you just update and adjust as needed.
Right.
So with military members constantly moving every couple years, constantly going through life changes, you just make an appointment. And you get your wills and powers of attorneys updated. So I think that's a great thing that we can apply here for non-service members. Once you get it done, don't just let it collect dust on the shelf. Update it, take a look at it every couple of years. There are major life changes that are happening all the time. So
yeah, and Hannah, some of the life changes that happen, which should spur someone to make changes, would be what?
Marriage, divorce, children, empty nesting, acquiring new property, retirement, just the list goes on and on. But
yeah. Awesome. Love it. Trigger events. Yeah. What else you got for us?
Another thing I loved about my time in the military is that they really hammer in the idea of powers of attorney, right? So a lot of people think estate plan is just about getting your wills done or getting a living trust. But you want to account for your absence or incapacity. And so whether it's like a short-term power of attorney or a long-term power of attorney, there's so many different powers of attorney documents that can get us squared away medically, financially, legally.
Yeah, because powers of attorney would be something, documents you get for who? Family members, spouses, kids, obviously yourself. I mean, it's all of the above.
All of the above. So especially if you have minor children, right? There's special powers of attorneys that you can get to get your children enrolled in school. If you're going to be away, if you need to register your vehicle, these are all things that you can do on a short-term basis or on a long-term basis.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously, you know, we've talked, you and I both have kids, and the power of attorney, you know, when my kids are going away to college, what you learn as a parent doing that for the first time is the colleges will tell you, your kid's 18, we can't talk to you. And you go, what? What are you talking about? It's my kid.
Yeah.
And so the powers of attorney, I would get mad because I'm like, what do you mean you can't talk to me? So the powers of attorney, you know, now you give it to the college. You say, yes, you can talk to me. Here you go. Here's a legal document. So it's really important stuff.
Yeah. And with healthcare laws being as strict as they are, just because you have a spouse doesn't mean they will have access to, you know, all your medical records. So it's important to get your advanced healthcare directives, your durable powers of attorney for legal decisions, all sorts of things, just to be prepared. And you have the ability to make them effective immediately or upon your incapacity.
So
you have some measure of control over that.
Nice. All right. Well, let's keep blazing through this. I love it.
Another thing that the military hammers that they really focus on is keeping your beneficiary designations up to date. So when you join the military on active duty, they actually automatically enroll you in a $400,000 life insurance policy.
Oh.
And that's from the VA. And it's just a low cost program for all military members. And you're constantly reminded every time you move to a different base to keep those updated, or whenever you have a significant life event, right? Such as a divorce, remarriage, birth of child, your previous beneficiary might not be your intended beneficiary. So
yeah, and there's I've heard you talk beforehand, and there's an important discussion to have about who you list as a beneficiary. Should it be an individual or your living trust? That's something that you talk about with people when you're setting all this up.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you could have it either way. If you have a trust, you would want the trust to be the beneficiary.
Okay.
And that would help, especially if you have like minor children, it would help you to avoid probate, your children to avoid probate and for those funds to pass to your children outside of the court process.
Yeah, because there are things like life insurance and bank accounts that pass by contract. And it can be a loophole.
Absolutely. And so there's this misconception that, you know, if you say everything in your, you know, in your will, everything goes to so-and-so, or in your trust, everything goes to so-and-so, that does not apply to, like you said, contracts such as life insurance.
Right. Love it. Love it.
Another lesson I learned is you want to have a holistic plan that goes beyond just the legal documents. So in the military, what they require you to do, especially if you're a single parent or a dual military couple, is to put together what's called a family care plan. So that's just a document outlining, you know, medical, school care for minor children, daily activities, and just really giving the caregivers access to the base and whatever resources they need to take care of your minor children. This is really similar. It's not a direct parallel, but reminds me of like the letter of intent that people will put together for special needs trusts. It's not the legal mechanism itself, but it's just as important, right? It's really giving those that you leave behind the instructions they need to take care of your to take care of your minor children.
And Hannah, the letter of intent, is that only for special needs children, or that's a good idea, or is that with any children where that comes into play?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea for any children too. You know, at our firm, we provide like a sample letter of wishes that you can put together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that just kind of outlines, you know, what is your intent for, you know, do you want your children to have, you know, a down deposit for your first home? A certain amount of money for the wedding. You can, these are not legally binding, but it really kind of expresses the intent and helps the trust administration process. You know, it kind of helps direct that in a way that's meaningful to the grantor.
Yeah, it sounds like a script, really. A script is how you want things to play out, which is important. Yeah.
And then another lesson I learned is that, you know, with military members constantly being on the move, they are in a unique situation. So oftentimes they acquire property as they move. And so a living trust is a great way to address some of those unique challenges. So imagine if you didn't have a living trust, what you're facing is probate in multiple states. So one lesson I'm just learning as practicing estate planning here, outside of the military is that for military members, it would be very beneficial to have a living trust set up so that they can avoid multiple probates.
Yeah, and that's a very good point, because I don't think a lot of people realize that if multiple properties in multiple states, probate meaning if they don't have a living trust, goes through that court process, they got to probate it in every single state, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, which the downside is expense, time, money. Do you have to travel to the other state potentially to go deal with it? I mean, it's going to be a headache.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Great point.
And then the last lesson I've learned is that it's one of the most practical ways to take care of your loved ones, but focus on your daily tests at hand. So in the military, you know, we're always very mission-minded, but it's about the mission and the people, right? Because without the people, you can't do the mission. But we do the mission because of the people, right? So, it's just that, you know, that reminder that we need to take care of those that we love and leave a good legacy for them. And that's the way to move forward and make sure that what we're doing every day really counts.
And I love it. This is a great reminder and a great insight into some of the important parts about estate planning. And I know for everybody listening here, you know, we have a complimentary planning assessment with Hannah you can get involved in. So connect with us wherever you're watching this, because we stream this video everywhere, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, it's out there. Is around this video will be a way to sign up for a complimentary assessment with Hannah. You'll love it. And that can be a Zoom call. If it's geographically desirable, you can even come into the office and meet Hannah in person. And Hannah, I know you have a great process for going through that with somebody up front.
Thanks. Yes. Yeah. Anyone can call in. We can get a complimentary consultation. They can get a quote and kind of decide what to do from that point on.
Fantastic. Thank you, Hannah. And thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay.